When I say now, I say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this morning's gospel story, in this relatively simple story of a visit between relatives just prior to Christmas, we have three stories, actually, of active love to help us along our Advent journey this morning. Just before we dig into these three stories, let's quickly recap the text that we've just heard from Luke's gospel. Luke starts into the action of this story right away, saying, "In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." As soon as Elizabeth hears that Mary has arrived at her home, three things happen in quick succession. The child within her, that is John the Baptist, leapt with joy. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and Elizabeth began to proclaim loudly to Mary, saying, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt with joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The final movement in this story is Mary's response, which takes the form of a psalm, also known as the Magnificat. Now, as I have said, within this relatively short and relatively straightforward story of a visit between relatives at Christmas, we have three stories of active love that guide us in our Advent of love. The first story is written on the surface of the page. It is the story about family and about nation. It's the story about Mary and Elizabeth, of the leaping unborn baby John and the Holy Spirit that gives words to each of the women in the story. This story takes place a short time before the miracle of the first Christmas morning. It is a story about active love between two relatives, between two women pregnant with child, two women who are about to begin the whole story of the gospel. Indeed, these women show us, among many things, that the gospel story begins even before Jesus and John were born. The story begins with Mary, already pregnant with the baby Jesus, making a journey to visit and celebrate with her relative Elizabeth. Now, I've never been pregnant, but I suspect that it is not so easy for someone who is pregnant to walk on foot from one town to the other alone. And in the course of researching this suspicion, I was told that there must have been a darn good reason for Mary to go. And Joseph must have had an even better reason not to have been there to help. So why does Mary go? Mary goes because she has just heard the words of the angel Gabriel announcing to her the good news about the births of Jesus and John, as we heard last week. Mary goes to share in the good news with Elizabeth. Mary goes to witness Elizabeth's miracle for herself. Mary goes because Elizabeth is family, and this is the kind of thing we do for family just before Christmas. This is the family story. But there is another story written on the surface of the text, and that is a story about nation. Within these verses is Israel's first act of celebration at welcoming the Messiah into the world. Luke tells us that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. According to Luke, John the Baptist cannot even wait to be born before celebrating the arrival of the Son of Man. John is so excited to welcome his relative, his cousin, his Lord, that he cannot sit still even within his mother's womb. Giving words to this same excitement, this same blessing of the nation Israel, Mary gives praise in her Magnificat. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever." By these words, these people, these relatives, know that what has taken place in this room and in these wombs is not just good news for the family. It's good news for all of Israel. The Messiah is coming at last. The Lord is coming. These are no ordinary children. They are John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, the baptizer and the one in whose name we are baptized. Thanks be to God. And let me make the point again about active love. There's nothing passive about the love shared in this story. There's nothing sitting back and waiting for the card to arrive. It's a love that goes out to greet one another. It's a love that sends God's Holy Spirit into the room. It's a love that makes children jump for joy. So that's the first story, the surface story. The second story is the story that took place in this room while the first story was being read. The second story, written in the same words of the same gospel, is not about the words written on the surface of the page, but rather those written in the hearts and the lives of those people who have heard them, including yours. And this includes the hearts and lives of everyone gathered this morning. The second story is our story, which reflects the gospel story. This is the story that has taken place in your own life when you felt a little like Mary, reeling with unexpected news that caused you to make haste to the home of a relative who would listen compassionately. This is the story from your own life when you felt a little like Elizabeth, faced with a joy or a challenge later in life than you thought possible. This is a story from your own life when you felt a little like poor Zachariah, opening the door to a relative of your spouse, only to have them run past you and begin speaking what sounded like total nonsense. The second story of this text is, for us this morning, written at least as many ways as there are people in this room. Maybe for you it's about a new job and not about a new child. Maybe for you it's about close friends and not about family. Maybe for you it's about the experience of hearing the Mary and Elizabeth story, that it rings true of an experience in your life that comes back strongly when you hear these words, even though you don't know why. Maybe it makes you smile, or maybe it makes you tearful. The second story of Mary and Elizabeth is your story, your personal story, woven in whatever way it happens to be in your life, in whatever way God happens to be in your life. No less real to you than Mary's or Elizabeth's experiences were to them. And I would wager that for many of you, it too is a story of active love, a story that reminds you how close God is in your life, a story that reminds you how close your family or your friends are. A story that, for reasons unexplainable, makes God feel very close indeed. That makes you thankful that he traveled all the way from that first Advent season to your pew this morning to dwell close in your heart and give you his joy. These are the first two stories. The story written on the surface, the story about Mary and Elizabeth and John and Jesus, and the second story written in our own lives, the one that is personal and meaningful to us. Now, and I apologize about complicating things, but I believe there is a third story written in these same verses. And that is the story that collapses the divide between the first and the second. The third story collapses the divide between the first and the second, between the text and our own lives. We've spoken about the first story, the one that took place a long time ago in the lives of women named Mary and Elizabeth. We've spoken about the second story, the one that takes place within our own lives and in our own pews. But there is a third story as well. The third story is often the most difficult to believe in because it requires us to think of ourselves and those around us as just as beloved, as just as important in God's universe as the people in the first story. The third story often gets ignored because it requires us to think of ourselves as much beloved as the people in the Bible. Now you might say, how can this be? How can any of us be as much beloved as Mary or as much beloved as Elizabeth? You may say, I'm not the mother of John the Baptist. I'm not the mother of Jesus of Nazareth, or like me, I'm not the mother of anybody. How can this be true? Each of us is loved by God as much as Mary or Elizabeth. It's just that we spend an awful lot of time and energy rejecting this love. We spend an awful lot of time and energy rejecting and reflecting and sloughing off God's love onto others. God's love is infinite. We know this. We have been told this time and time again throughout our lives of faith. God's love does not diminish as it is shared, but rather it grows. God has enough infinite love to love Mary and Elizabeth and you and me all in equal infinite measure. We know this, but how often do we believe it? Do we believe that God loves our poor, our hungry, our sick, and our downtrodden neighbor as much as his own son? And do we take the time to tell our neighbor that? And if we don't, why don't we? Do we believe that God loves Mary, an unwed pregnant youth, so much that he chose her to be the vessel of the greatest gift that humanity would ever receive? That God chose Mary, a woman unmarried in a culture where being unmarried meant far more than it does today. And God said, you, fragile, delicate Mary, you are the wrapping for the greatest gift humanity will ever receive. The third story collapses the divide between the biblical story and our story because it reminds us that within every such life, every frightened pregnant youth, every bewildered husband, every moment of Holy Spirit inspiration, the love of God is as much present here as it was there, that the love of God is as much present now as it was then, that believing in an active God and an active love of God means that God did not stop working 2,000 years ago. The good news of the Christmas story is that God dwelt among us and that God dwells among us. God took on human flesh and God takes on human flesh and was born a human birth to come as close to us as possible. God did all of this for us. Not just the Christmas story, not just Advent, not even just the words of the Bible, but all of this great, beautiful creation, this blessed, sunny Sunday morning, every day of your blessed life, every day of your neighbor's blessed life, God did all of this for you and for the people around you. And we might know this, but how often do we believe it? God's act of love for you is written in bold print across all three stories. God gave you the scriptures, including the story of Mary and Elizabeth, that you might know him and receive his love. God gave you your experiences, your memories, your joys, and your tears, that you would know him in your very own life. And as often as we allow him to, God interrupts us to remind us that there really is not so much difference between the text and our lives. That God writes God's love throughout history, not just the history of the Bible, but the history through all of creation. Mary may be a specific woman in a specific time and place written into a specific text, but there is a reason that God's people have read this story for 2,000 years. Because Mary is still with us. Because God is still with us, because Jesus and John and Elizabeth and Zechariah are still with us. And those memories of the stories that this text brings up in your life proves my point. You know a Mary, you know an Elizabeth, you know a Zechariah, you know a John. There are still women around us, pregnant and afraid, who are as much beloved by God as Mary. There are still children born into poverty who are as much beloved as God's only son. There are, if we believe, even for a moment, that these things are still true, how do we respond? How do we respond to the active love of God that draws all near to him and to his son Jesus? How do we respond to the active love of God that comforts the afflicted and gives peace to those with none? How do we respond to the active love of God at Advent that promises that, yes, this year, as every year, Jesus Christ is about to be born again into our world to cast out darkness and give light to those who need it most? How do we respond? Friends, I suggest we respond with active love of our own. I suggest we take that love that God so readily offers and quiet the voice inside us that says, not me, and instead give it back to those around us. To preach out of the overflow, to let this little light of ours shine, to share the Christmas joy, however you want to say it, to say yes and to ourselves and to others. This is the task of loving actively that we have already begun or are free to begin if we haven't already. It's an active love that serves meals to the hungry, an active love that gives gifts to those without family this Christmas, an active love that sings carols to those without a song in their hearts, an active love that cares for the Marys and the Elizabeths of our time and place, an active love that looks outward and shares the hope, peace, joy, and love we have found with everyone we meet. And you can do this in simple ways. When you go out today and you go out into the world, into Saskatoon, into your lives, when you say Merry Christmas, mean it. Mean that Jesus Christ has been born into this world and Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and Jesus Christ is your light. And even if they don't know how much you mean it, you will know, and that's a pretty good start. Active love that looks inwards. Love that looks at the person, not just on the street, but that person in the mirror and says, and you too. God loves you with an infinite measure as well. Friends, tomorrow night, Jesus Christ will be born into our world once again. Born into an imperfect world with perfect love. The same God who came close in the lives of Mary and Elizabeth, the same God who comes close in our own lives, the same God who interrupts us as often as he can to remind us that we are his children and we are greatly loved. Let us greet him with open arms, with hope, peace, joy, and above all, love. Amen.